they're leaving just a couple rules about looking at the Bible, understanding the Bible. Maybe the first thing we should remember is we should always read the Bible in context. Context, context, context determines meaning. And we have that already in our church because we're teaching. We usually teach through a book of the Bible, and that gives us the context from week to week of where we're going. And the second thing is the plain sense. If the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. So, you know, don't look for some secret behind the verses someplace. Just look at what it says. Look at what it says in context, and the Holy Spirit will guide us to what we need to know from that passage. All right, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll look at 1 John 2:18 through 27 today. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you've given us this wonderful book, the Bible, a book of books that is perfectly preserved for us, perfectly written. And you used men and their personalities, their abilities with languages in order to get exactly what you wanted written for us to know. Lord, help us today to look at this passage, examine our hearts, and open our hearts and our ways to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 27. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. In this passage, last week we talked about that 1 John is arranged with warnings. Like if you're coming to church today and you saw flashing lights, you know, because there's a chuck hole someplace and the township doesn't want you to run your car into that chuck hole and break your tire off. Well, that's the way 1 John is set up, with a series of warnings so that we might not, you know, get into trouble. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, a warning about antichrists. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is a man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So this passage is a warning about antichrists. And as we begin today, I want you to think about a time in your life when you have been deceived. When you've been deceived. Got it? Con artists have gotten the best of you. You got ripped off. Or swindlers took all of your stuff. I mean, all of your stuff they got. And sometimes it's not just individuals that are deceived, but sometimes it's entire nations are deceived. In May of 1940, Franklin Delano Roosevelt called for our nation to produce 50,000 warplanes per year. We weren't in war yet. That wouldn't happen until December 7th, 1941. But he wanted us to be prepared to be an arsenal for democracy. At that time, warplanes were not our specialty. We had like 3,000 of them. You know, when German spies heard this and he reported this to Hitler, he and his cronies started a propaganda campaign to teach the German people that this United States, he called them a mixed race of people who were pro-Jewish, were not able ever to outproduce the German nation. Said, not going to happen. And so they used propaganda and sold that lie to the German people. And the people, the German people, accepted that and swallowed that lie, hook, line, and sinker. At the end of the war, at the end of World War II, how many planes do you think American industry produced? Guess, how many do you think? Franklin Roosevelt said 50,000 a year. How many do you think? The number's 300,000. 300,000 planes, that B-17s, B-24s, B-51s, B-40s, you know, any kind of plane that's useful in war, 300,000 planes by the end. And they could put a B-17 off their assembly line in Chicago every 63 minutes, a million parts in each one of those planes. We could reproduce our planes faster than the Germans could shoot them down. It was amazing. American industry, engineering, women becoming involved in our industry were an amazing, shocking thing for the German people. And at the end of the war, they were amazed that they had been sold this lie, that they had been hoodwinked, they had been ripped off, they had been lied to. You know, Satan is in the full-time deception business. He wants people to deny Christ. He wants people to live lives that are dominated by lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God wants us to avoid those spiritual frauds. That won't take us where we want to go if we're dominated by those things. So today, let's look at three notes about Antichrist that are talked about in this passage. Three notes about Antichrist in this passage. First note, beware of Antichrist. Look at verses 18 and 19 and verses 22 and 23. Verse 18 says, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their showing, going showed that none of them belonged to us." And then verse 22 and 23. "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." You know, when we read the Bible, it's always important to note who is being spoken to. In this case, if you look at verse 18, it says, "Dear children." And the Greek word there for children is paideia. It's not technia. Technia means, it's another word that's used for dear children, for instance, in chapter 2, verse 1. But this is paideia, meaning members, those young people who are members of the church, but they're not mature yet, and they're still under the authority and teaching, leadership of teachers. And those people would be the most vulnerable people to false teachers. It's important that they understand the threat that these antichrists present. And a second thing that's important to know is when. When. Look at verse 18. It says, "Dear children, this is the last hour." So when is the time period that's being spoken about? Did John make a mistake that the world was going to end? This is the last hour? Well, the Greek there says it doesn't have the article, the definite article, the. It's just a. So here John says it is a last hour, not the last hour, because it doesn't specify that way in the Greek. It is a time period between the resurrection of Christ and his return. And you know, since Christ's resurrection, the intensity of Satan's opposition has increased. And we can expect more of that as the day of Christ's return draws near. A third thing to notice is who is being described. It says, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the antichrists are coming, even now many antichrists have come." So who is being described by these people? It's the word there is antichrist. And the preposition anti has two meanings in Greek. First of all, it can mean those who are against Christ. That's usually the way people take this. These people are against Christ. They're mean, they're evil, they're bad to the bone. These people are antichrist, okay? Or it can be taken by as those who want to replace Christ. People who do good, people who solve problems, they make life better so that people say, "Hey, we don't need this Jesus. We do pretty good without him." But either way, they're telling you, don't receive Jesus. A fourth thing to notice about Antichrist's character, we should look at the Antichrist's characteristics. Verses 18 through 23, I'll just list them for you. There are many of them. It's a small a, so it's not referring to the Antichrist. There is a guy in the future who will be the Antichrist that's coming. But there are also people who agree with him, are working in his power according to his plan. That's a small a, antichrist. And there are many of them, according to verse 18. Verse 19, they remind us about the time period that we live in. If we see this happening, you know that this is the last hour, a last hour. And not only that, but they come from churches. It says they don't remain. They didn't remain from us. So these are people who went to church, but didn't receive Jesus as their Savior, but then went out. They blow in, they blow up, and then they blow out. They don't stay. They deny the Father and deny the Son, according to verse 22, especially against the deity of Christ, verse 23. And our job as Christians is not always to be looking around for that guy who is the Antichrist, you know, the big A Antichrist guy, but rather to prepare for the return of Christ, to look for Jesus, not for the Antichrist, to look for Jesus. That's who we want to see. Not to be asleep, but to be alert and self-controlled, so that when our Savior returns, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, probably many of you don't know Kenny Beard. Kenny Beard is the oldest attender of our church, but right now he's in a nursing home. And Kenny Beard was always fond of telling a story about being on guard duty in Alaska during World War II. You know, the Japanese were up there, so there's actual war going on in Alaska. So they had guard duty. And he said it was nighttime. And they had told them there are bears up there, but nobody had seen any yet. So as he was on guard duty, he was watching, and suddenly a bear came around the corner of the building. And so he saw that, he was prepared, so he ducked inside a door and didn't get eaten up by the bear that evening, which is good, because I like Kenny. Kenny was awake. He was aware of his surroundings. He knew that this could happen, and he reacted correctly. You know, and so should we. When we come into contact with Antichrist, we become aware of the fact that, hey, this is a last hour that we live in. We should be doing everything we can to tell as many people as possible about our wonderful Savior that we have, and his name's Jesus. The second note, remember your anointing by the Holy Spirit, verses 20 and 21. Remember your anointing by the Holy Spirit, verses 20 and 21. It says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Antichrists are characterized by lies. They hoodwink people. But genuine believers have the Holy Spirit, who is their guide. You know, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, one of the things that the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God does for us is that he anoints us. He anoints us. And that has several meanings when we think about the anointing. He enables us. He has called us, and now he enables us to do God's work. He equips us so that we're able to do these things. He illuminates us so that our minds can understand the scriptures. He anoints us to be able to understand God's truth that we were not able to understand before. Have you ever talked to somebody that doesn't understand what the Bible says? You quote them a verse and say, well, what does that mean? Maybe they have heard it before, but because they have hard hearts, hard minds, they don't get it. They don't get it. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to teach us God's truth. God's truth has no lies. Zero. Zero. It's amazing that something can have zero in us. When we were renting an apartment, the landowner's children would come down and talk to us. One of his name was DeWitt. He was 4. And Tammy was 7. And they would come down and inform us about all kinds of things that they did when they were in Alaska fishing. And DeWitt would come down and tell us, he said, you know what's really special about halibut the fish? They have no bones, absolutely none. 4-year-old telling me, halibut have no bones. God's word has no lies in it. Jesus said, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. Genuine believers know God's saving truth. They don't need to have it explained to them by someone who doesn't know Christ personally. Plus, they can discern lies. We should know the gospel so well, know the Bible so well, that when we hear a false teacher in his smooth nonsense, we automatically know he's wrong. It's almost like a bell should go off in our heads. Ding, 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 ding. Something wrong. Something wrong with what he just said. So it's our internal alarm system that wakes us up and gets our attention with what we just heard. This is how the Spirit of God anoints us. We shouldn't forget and stop thanking God for this wonderful gift that God has given to us, the anointing by the Spirit of God. A third note, abide in what you have been taught. Abide in what you have been taught, verses 24 through 27. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So the third note is abide in what you have been taught. Abide in that. John knew that true sheep could never lose their salvation. If they've trusted Jesus as their Savior, you never lose that. It remains. It stays. But he encouraged them to persevere, to let the truth of God, the Bible, abide in them, that which they had heard from the beginning, from the apostles. I mean, these people had heard from the apostles themselves, a lot of them. The Greek word here for abide is the Greek word meno, which refers to a continual action of remaining. That truth should always feel comfortable in us. It should always be at home in us. It's important that we stay with the truth of God's word. We don't turn away from it. We don't, you know, our friends tell us, they invite us to do something else, and we know that that goes against the truth of God. We can't go there. We can't do that. The Christian life continues just as it began, through faith in God's truth. You know, Cindy and I live in Ashland, and every year, the city of Ashland negotiates for a fair price with Ohio Gas for natural gas for people of Ashland. And in spite of that, and these are pretty good at negotiators, they're better than I could do. In spite of that, there's these salesmen that come around all the time knocking on our door, try to sell us a new deal. New deal. They said, bring out your last gas bill and I'll show you how I can save you money. They promise the world. I mean, absolutely the world. You could save like 50%, you know, on your gas. But they don't tell us that once we change to a new provider, that our gas prices will double. But we already have gas. We already have natural gas at a good price. We don't need a new deal. Some of these guys are really pretty aggressive. I've been called ignorant and all kinds of other things by these guys. I mean, whoa, pretty aggressive. It's the same with the gospel message that we heard from the beginning. We don't have a need for false teachers to tell us their new and improved scriptures or their secret gospel somehow hidden behind the words that we're reading here. We have eternal life. We have the Holy Spirit who teaches us and assures us that what we believe is true and sure. He teaches us how to abide in Christ and teaches us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need, we find in the Bible for life and godliness. How about you today? Maybe you've been ripped off by a spiritual fraud. Somebody that you thought was godly, but in the end, you discovered that they were only after your pocketbook. That's painful. How can we avoid these antichrists? Well, I'll give you three things, three ways to avoid antichrists. First of all, and you've heard this from me before and from Pastor Tyler before, spend time in God's word. That will help us discern between what is true and what is false. The word of God is what everybody needs. We need it all the time. If you're a Christian, you need it the rest of your life. To the day you die, you need the word of God. And sometimes I talk with people who can't respond anymore, and I will teach them the word of God. So even if you're in a coma, I will come there and I will read the word of God to you because I know that you need it. You need it, even if you can't respond to me. I'm going to come and pray with you, and I'm going to read the Bible to you because you need it in every second of your life. Secondly, stand firm in your convictions. Don't back off. Don't be shy about what you believe. Don't flinch. Stand up for Jesus and his word. And thirdly, stay focused on Christ. Remind yourself every day that Jesus is really the center of everything. Obey what Jesus says. Listen to what he said. Follow his examples. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true Messiah, the true God, and is in stark contrast to all these false antichrists that are around us all the time. We see them on television. We meet them on the streets. We see them at work. They're just there, and they're peddling a false gospel that won't get anybody to heaven, won't save anybody, won't get anybody's sins forgiven. All that is only possible through having a personal relationship with Jesus, coming to know him as Savior and Lord, turning from our sin, turning to Jesus. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.